This morning we're going to go back to the Old Testament into Exodus chapter 9. So if you want to turn there, this is one of those passages that sometimes we read over, sometimes we look back at the things that God was doing, and we know it was a part of the whole process. As God began to deliver the children of Israel out of Egypt, we know that He did many things. We know that His purpose was so that one day they could go out and worship Him on the mountain. That was His whole purpose, that His people would worship Him. And so my prayer today is that through the process of this message, God's people would worship Him. But we know what was taking place. We know the children of Israel had been in slavery in Egypt, and God had called Moses to go and speak to Pharaoh so that he would release them, and that did not happen. And so God said that through that, one of the things I don't want to jump over is when God told Moses to go to Pharaoh, He said, "Who am I that I could go?" And He came up with all these excuses. And so no matter what excuse you come up with today, I'm just telling you, God's heard it already. God's already heard it. I've made those excuses. You've made those excuses. Moses made those excuses. So many people made those excuses before God when they didn't want to do what He called them to do. But when God sent them to talk to Pharaoh, He gave them this miracle. One of the miracles of God that I don't like, I'm just going to be honest with you. When God said, "Go in before Pharaoh," and He said, "Take Aaron's staff and throw it down and it'll turn into a snake." I don't know, but the most faith in the whole Bible is when He said, "Now reach down and grab its tail, and it's going to turn back into a stick." My faith would have been tested that day, right there. But Pharaoh had sorcerers, magicians, demonic powers that were able to do something similar to that. And so Pharaoh refused to listen, and so God began to send plagues upon Egypt. We know that He started off by turning the water into blood. He then sent frogs. He then sent lice and flies, a disease on the livestock, and then boils on man. And these first six plagues, you would think any one of those would have worked. But they didn't. They didn't work. And we come to this seventh plague, and if you ask me why I pulled the seventh plague out instead of one of the others, I can't tell you. But as I went on through the week and began to pray and read and study, I know why. And it was one of those things that as Pharaoh refused, God had a plan. And this was just part of it. And so as we're going to read right now, starting in chapter 9, verse 13. It says, "Then the Lord said to Moses, 'Rise early in the morning and stand before Pharaoh and say to him, Thus says the Lord, God of the Hebrews, let my people go that they may serve me. For at this time I will send all my plagues to your very heart and on your servants and on your people, that you may know that there is none like me in all the earth. Now if I had stretched out my hand and struck you and your people with pestilence, then you would have been cut off from the earth. But indeed, for this purpose, I have raised you up that I may show my power in you, that my name may be declared in all the earth. As yet you exalt yourself against my people, in that you will not let them go. Behold, tomorrow about this time I will cause a very heavy hail to rain down, such as has not been in Egypt since the founding until now. Therefore, send now and gather your livestock and all that you have in the field, for the hail shall come down on every man and every animal which is found in the field and is not brought home, they shall die.' He who feared the word of the Lord among the servants of Pharaoh made his servants and his livestock flee to the houses. But he who did not regard the word of the Lord left his servants and his livestock in the field. Then the Lord said to Moses, 'Stretch out your hand toward heaven, and there may be, that there may be hail in all the land of Egypt, on man, on beast, and on every herb of the field, throughout the land of Egypt. And Moses stretched out his rod toward heaven, and the Lord sent thunder and hail, and fire departed to the ground. And the Lord rained hail on the land of Egypt, where so there was hail and fire mingled with the hail, so very heavy that there was none like it in all the land of Egypt since it became a nation. And the hail struck throughout the whole land of Egypt, and all that was in the field, both man and beast. And the hail struck every herb of the field and broke every tree in the field. Only in the land of Goshen, where the children of Israel were, there was no hail. And Pharaoh sent and called for Moses and Aaron. And he said to them, I have sinned this time. The Lord is righteous, and my people and I are wicked. Entreat the Lord that they may be no more mighty thundering and hail, for it is enough. I will let you go, and you shall stay no longer. So Moses said to him, as soon as I have gone out of the city, I will spread out my hands to the Lord. The thunder will cease, and there will be no more hail, that you may know the earth is the Lord's. But as for you, your servants, I know that you will not yet fear the Lord. Now the flax and the barley were struck, for the barley was in the head and the flax was in the bud. But the wheat and the spelt were not struck, for they are late crops. So Moses went out of the city from Pharaoh and spread out his hands to the Lord. Then the thunder and hail ceased. The rain was not poured on the earth. And when Pharaoh saw that the rain and the hail and the thunder had ceased, he sinned yet more. He hardened his heart, he and his servants. So the heart of Pharaoh was hard, neither would he let the children of Israel go, as the Lord had spoken to Moses. Let's pray. Father God, as we speak your word today, as we read your word, Lord, I pray that you would move in this place. Lord, help us to understand what it is you have for us. Lord, draw us, convict us, encourage us. Help us to be where you want us to be, that we would hear you today. Hide me behind the cross and speak your word. In your name I pray. Amen. As we see through that passage, as I read, and it's kind of lengthy, I understand that, but we see that what God has done is he's told Pharaoh, there's a purpose. I can just cut you off, but there's a purpose for these. And that purpose was to show his power among the Egyptians. God could have very easily just wiped out the Egyptians and took the children up on the mountain and let them worship him. But he wanted not only the children of Israel to understand, but he wanted everybody in Egypt to see his power. And he wanted his name declared among all the earth. And if you go on and read into the Old Testament and even in the New Testament, people talked for years about how God delivered the children of Israel out of Egypt. And not just the children of Israel, but other nations. When they would see the children of Israel coming, they would talk about how God had delivered that group of people from the Egyptians. So people did know. We're still talking about it today. So the reason God did that is so that it tells us there, in the early verses of 13, it says, let my people go that they may serve me. That's the purpose. We need to understand that the purpose for this message is the same purpose. God performed all those miracles so that they would be released so that they could go serve him. God gives us his word so that we would learn and we would go serve him. As we look at this passage, the miracles that he did then are the same reason he does miracles today. Well, Pastor, I don't see many miracles. Open your eyes. God is still performing miracles. It's just we don't want to call them miracles of God. But he's still our God, and he's still a God of miracle. And he does it to bring glory and honor to himself. In this plague, we're going to see God's desire to deliver his people. That same desire is still alive today. We're going to see that through the power that he offered. That power is still there today. And we're going to see through the grace with which he offered it. And that grace is still there today. And the faithfulness that he did that day. And he's still just as faithful today. Let's look first at God's warning. Here we have the people of Israel that are slaves, and Moses is going in and he's talking to Pharaoh, and he's telling him what's going to happen. God says, go tell him that tomorrow I'm going to send hail. And the fire, we understand, is lightning. But the thunder and the lightning and the hail that's going to come down tomorrow, it's going to kill everybody out in the field. Why did God warn them? They were people that had their hearts hard. They were hearts hard, I think. Did that come out? That come out wrong. But anyway, you know what I meant. That's going to happen. Trust me. But God does that because even though they did not believe in Him, God still loved them. God offered them that warning. He said, tomorrow, if you have slaves, if you have livestock in the field, get it in. Get it to the house because they're going to die. God sends ahead of time a warning to people that didn't even know Him, that did not respect Him, that did not love Him, and that God knew were not going to love Him. Why would God do that? Why would God warn people that this judgment is coming, this punishment is coming, when He knew they weren't going to love Him anyway? Because He's God, and He's a God of love. You and I need to understand that same thing is offered today. That same warning is there. That same warning is for us today. It's not about the hail. It's not about get your cows in out of the field. But it's a warning that when you're not doing something right, that punishment from God can come. God has judgment set out there in front of us, and He warns us of that. As we look at this warning, I love verse 20. And these are Pharaoh's servants. He said, those who feared the word of the Lord among the servants of Pharaoh made his servants and his livestock flee to the houses. They probably didn't see the snake, the stick turn into the snake, and then the snake turned back into the stick. I don't know what they saw, but when they got the warning, the servants of Pharaoh were warned that hail was coming. And some of them listened. Some of them had their livestock flee back to the houses, and that livestock and those servants were saved because they heard the warning. But there were others who did not regard the word of the Lord. They left their servants and their livestock in the field. And there's a whole message in that right there. In understanding that God has a warning out there for us. And that warning is to let us know through salvation God offers to us. Did He have to? No. But because He loves us, He offers us that salvation. He warns us. The Bible tells us that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And the Bible says that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ. That's a warning. And there are so many today that, like verse 20, they heard that. We've heard that and we've accepted, and we understand that warning is from God. And we understand and we get out of the field as best we can through the blood of Jesus Christ because of what He's done. But there are so many, maybe some even sitting here today, that do not regard the word of the Lord. And so therefore the warning that God gives us, that the wages of sin is death, they just ignore. That hurts. We only hear one time in chapter 9, with this regard to the seventh plague, the hail, there was one warning. I am so glad that God didn't just warn me once, because I was pretty stubborn. Still am. But God warned them one time. And wouldn't it be something if God gave the same type of warning to us? This time tomorrow, hail's coming. And I'm not going to tell you that I know when the judgment of God's coming, other than when I breathe my last, the judgment of God is coming for me. I know that if we were to able to read a spot in this Bible, and it's not there, and I'm not trying to put something there that is not, so don't get me wrong. But when they were told there's a deadline, man, those guys went out and got their slaves, they got their servants, they got their livestock out of the field because they knew they had less than 24 hours before the hail was coming. Now, would that be a good thing or a bad thing? I don't know. Because I think sometimes if we knew the day that judgment was coming, we would put it off until the day before. But unfortunately, and maybe fortunately, we don't know when that day is coming. But then we look at that second group. Those that had no regard for the Word of God. They can read that the judgment of God is coming. They can read that the wages of sin are death. They can read that every man is going to die once and after that to face the judgment. They can read all of this and they take no regard for what this book says. But one day the hail's coming. So God warns. But you know, not only does He just warn them, He offers grace. Think about that. He gives them the opportunity. He gives them the 24 hours to get your servants and your livestock out of the field. Out of love, He gives a warning. Out of grace, He gives 24 hours. He provided a time and a way out of the hail. God provides a way and a time out of our judgment. And yeah, we're still going to face judgment, but we'll be under the grace of God, the blood of Jesus Christ. We'll still be held accountable for what we did with what God has given us. But we will be able to have salvation through Jesus Christ because of the grace, because of the fact that He loved us enough to warn us, He loved us enough to offer grace through Jesus Christ. He gave us a way out. He gave them 24 hours. That was their way out. He gave you and I, Jesus Christ, on the cross. He gave us a way out. Some of the Egyptians missed it. And unfortunately, there's going to be people that miss it today. But you know, it goes on. And not only does He warn, and not only does He offer a way out, but God is faithful to His Word. You know, we generally, when we hear that word, God is faithful, we think of the positive things. Because God is faithful in our lives. Every day He blesses us. He is always there. He is always God. He is always loving. He is everything. He is faithful. It's not something He does. That's who He is. That's what He is. But you know what? Sometimes we can understand that faithfulness is across the board. And what I mean by that is when He said, in 24 hours, the hail is coming. He was true to His Word. And that's what faithfulness means. God is true to His Word, and what He says is going to happen. So as we look at this passage, we can see that there are people that feared the Word of the Lord, and when God said, hail is coming in 24 hours it came. The thunder and the hail and the lightning that came down, and it hit those servants that had stayed out in the field. God is the same today. He is faithful in all of His promises, and He is faithful in all of His promises to bring about judgment. Well, you know, Pastor, I hear that all the time, and people say, well, He's not doing anything. It doesn't seem like God's doing anything. I see people all the time that are living the life that they want to live and has nothing to do with God, and God doesn't seem to be punishing them at all. 2 Peter tells us that God is not slack. God is not slow in coming. God is patient and long-suffering, not wanting anybody to perish, but all to come to repentance. That's the reason that He's holding off. That's the reason that He gave 24 hours. He could have sent that hail right then, but He chose not to. He warns us the same way He warned them. He provided a way out for them. He provided a way out for us. He honored His word to them, and He will honor His word to us. I know sometimes people say, well, you know, and I've heard it, it just seems like that preaching is always preaching down on us. It's not the case. I'm not preaching telling you that you need to get out of the field. I'm not preaching telling you you need to fear the word of the Lord because I think there's something wrong with you. I am preaching that because I love you. Because if I did not care, I would not say anything about it. If I did not care, I would have all fluff sermons that were all great. And there is a time for those, don't get me wrong. But if that's all we hear, and we never understand that the judgment of God is at the door and it's going to begin at the house of God, then where are we at? We need to understand that what God has always done, He will always do. He's warned, He's offered a way out, and He was true to His word. God is still that way today. He has warned us. Maybe you've never accepted Christ. He's warned you. If He hasn't warned you before, He's warning you today. But He warns you that you need to come to know Him. There is salvation in the name of Jesus Christ and nowhere else. We need to understand that we have been warned. Maybe you're a Christian. You think, well, this message isn't for me because I'm not in the field. Are you where you're supposed to be? This very last part, verse 26, only in the land of Goshen, where the children of Israel were, there was no hail. Think about that. It hailed everywhere in the land of Egypt, and the land of Goshen was in the land of Egypt. But there was this one place where God had put His children, and He wanted them to be there, and that was the only place where there was no hail. How many of us are running from the land of Goshen back to Egypt, and back to the land of Goshen, and back to Egypt? There's too many that want to live with a foot in both places, and that doesn't work. We have to make sure that we are in the land of Goshen. Now, where is that? When I was growing up, I don't know how many times I'd hear people say, oh, land of Goshen. I don't know where that's at. I know where it's at on a map, but I don't know where it's at for you. Because the land of Goshen is where God wanted the children of Israel. Where does He want you? I don't know where He wants you. I know where He wants me. And sometimes I'm not there. And that's when He says, Steve, get out of the field and get back to the land of Goshen. We have to live where God wants us to live, not where we want to live. He has warned us with the things that are coming. He has offered us a way out. Am I going to be perfect? No. Heaven knows I'm not perfect. Everybody in this place knows I'm not perfect. But He's warned us. He's offered us righteousness through the blood of Jesus Christ. And He's going to be faithful to His word. This message today is one of those that hurts because I know I'm as guilty as anybody here of not being where I should be. We want to live this life that God has given us. We've been blessed. We have so many things, and it becomes about us. We have to understand that when Moses talked to Pharaoh and he said, "Get your servants out of the field," he could have said, "Well, I need my livestock out there to eat. I need to bring in my crops. I need to have my servants in the field because this is my life. This is my livelihood. If it's all about you, you're going to get so busy that you're going to be in the field. And you know, when a storm comes, a lot of times you can hear that slow, silent, distant thunder. You know what I'm talking about? It's a long ways off. And what do you think? I've got time. But have you ever been around one of those storms when all of a sudden it's just a crack of lightning? Sorry, I saw 3 or 4 people jump. Didn't mean to do that. But that's what it's like. We think that there's going to be that distant thunder and then that gradual rumbling and louder and louder. And before you know it, it'll be here. But there's no promise that we will hear distant thunder. He's warned us that the hail is coming. And as a church, we should be living the way God wants us to live. If we aim this at the church, and by saying the church, I'm not talking First Southern Baptist Church because this is just a place where we meet. I'm talking about the people that love Jesus Christ, that have accepted Him. The body of Christ is all believers. We are to live in our land of Goshen. Now, we have to be a part of this world because how else is God going to reach the world but through us? He wants to use us. But for His church to truly be enjoying the field, something's wrong. The storm's coming. Maybe you're supposed to play the part of Moses and Aaron. We look at this from one view that we're the people warned. Because maybe I'm still living in the field. Maybe I'm not where I should be. Maybe I'm not in the land of Goshen. And we look at it that way. But those of you that are Christians, have you ever thought maybe you're the one that's supposed to be out there warning people? Maybe you're the one that's supposed to be going out there and telling people that the storm is coming. Maybe that's your responsibility. Maybe you're that servant of Pharaoh and you've got a choice to make. You've got a choice to make about your family, about your friends, about the people you live around. Are you going to make that choice that you fear the word of the Lord and you're going to tell your servants, you're going to tell the people in your life that the storm is coming? I think some of the saddest people in this passage here are the ones in verse 21. But he who did not regard the word of the Lord left his servants and his livestock in the field. Not the person who didn't regard the word of the Lord, but the servant who didn't have a chance. If I'm the servant of Pharaoh and I don't disregard the word of the Lord, then I leave my servants out there. I didn't even care about my servants. How many people do we not tell about Jesus Christ that are in our life? Because we get busy, we're afraid of what they'll say. We got a choice. We either fear the word of the Lord or we disregard it. And what you do with that choice affects a lot of people. It affects a lot of people you love. It affects people you don't even know. Are we supposed to play the part of those that warn? I'm going to close this morning with a few thoughts. Real simple. And it's understanding that everything God did in this passage, He's still doing today. Everything. And it's all for the same reason. It's because He wants us to serve Him. He wants us to love Him. He wants us to honor Him. But as long as they're in slavery in Egypt, they could not go to that mountain. They could not go worship God on that mountain. As long as you and I are in slavery, we'll never make it to that mountain. As long as you and I let the bondage of sin enslave us, whether it be a lifestyle of sin that we've never turned it over to Christ, we're a slave to sin. But sometimes even as Christians, we will allow that unconfessed sin or that thing in our life that we know shouldn't be there. We let it tie us down. And it keeps us from getting to the mountain. They were in bondage then, and God did everything to get them out. This was just part of it. We're in bondage today. God did everything through Jesus Christ to get us out. So we got a choice. We can either stay in slavery or we can take the option that God has given us. Not just for our salvation. Yes, that's the first and most important step. If you've not accepted Christ as your personal Savior, then you need to surrender to Him and accept what Jesus Christ did on the cross for you. And come and follow Him in baptism and turn your life over to Him and surrender to Him and find out where your land of Goshen is at. But if you've already accepted Christ, don't think that Satan's not going to try to bind you again. He can't unless you let him. And unfortunately, that's the case. We let him. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we just come before you. Lord, we need you. We need a touch from you. Lord, I pray for your conviction on this place. I pray that you draw us to where you want us. Lord, encourage us. Encourage those that are in the right place. Encourage us that are trying to move. Lord, help us to be where you want us to be. Lord, when you set us free, we are free, and we praise you for that. Lord, today, may we live like we are in freedom. Get us out of the field, God. In your name I pray. Amen.